Millions of people struggle with emotional pain and they have no idea how to fix that. And that's why Kristen Swan will tell us about how to heal with the Heart Mapping Journal. And Kristen is a former business coach turned life and spiritual guide, and she helps people discover their truth, clarify their values, and cultivate a curious, intentional mindset. Through her journals and workshops, she empowers others to make aligned choices and embrace the power of their own stories. So, Kristen, tell us about how can someone heal emotionally with the Heart Mapping Journal?
Follow me for more interviews with world's most innovative health changemakers to live your healthiest life ever.
Thank you, Lily, for asking that great question. And I think it's something that I know I can relate to on a very personal level because, and I like to start by just clarifying some of our terms, because when we're talking about emotional healing, we're really talking about the type of wounds essentially that are held in our bodies, right? That what we feel when we use, not to confuse the word for feelings and emotions. So when we're talking about our feelings, a lot of times that's our conscious interpretation of events, right? We are very much, that is kind of what our brain is kind of making up in that moment. Whereas emotions, there can be an awareness, however, so much that happens kind of on our emotional, in our emotional landscape, so to speak, is really being held in the body. You can think about times where you've had butterflies in your stomach, right? Or times that you've ended up kind of feeling a little bit flushed, right? Or when we blush or something like that, right? That is a kind of common and physical manifestation of that emotional reaction, right? So when Heart Mapping, actually both of the journals that I've created, but Heart Mapping and Spaghetti on the Wall, are really about giving people space to get to know who they are. And the way that I think about one avenue for us to understand better who we are and embark on that journey of self-discovery is to release judgment, for starters. So oftentimes, I think a lot about storytelling as such a powerful tool, and the way stories, I think, show up in our lives is that not only the stories that we've inherited or that have been told to us, but we also have our stories in our head, right? Those stories that we're telling ourselves. And then there's also those stories that we choose to share, and that can be depending on the situation or the person. But going back to the journaling is a way to be really putting pen to paper. So whether it's heart mapping, which uses a continuous line drawing modality as a place to start, to kind of start releasing and really connecting both our, so to speak, our heart, our head, and our bodies all together. And then it asks you in heart mapping to transition into words if that's where you feel yourself moved. So whether we're journaling, you know, with a certain modality that I've created or a different one, we're really starting at the place of awareness, because those emotional healing, oftentimes we haven't put words to our emotional landscape. So we have to start there.
Thank you. So tell me, what's different about the Heart Mapping Journal versus like a normal journal where you just write by yourself?
Yeah. Well, as I mentioned, there is this continuous line drawing. And that is so the whole practice of heart mapping, which it does, I highly recommend that consistency, that it become a habit, because I think that the real power is in showing up for yourself just a little bit, maybe 10 minutes, 15 minutes a day to do something like this. And so specifically though, what happens when you are physically engaged, so different than typing on the computer or even transcribing, you know, notes into your phone by voice, right? There is that very kinesthetic thing that's happening when you put pen to paper. So with heart mapping, the idea is you sit, take a few breaths, kind of ask yourself where you're at in this moment, depending on your relationship with a higher power, you might tap into that. You might just really kind of take this moment to, with your breath, to kind of ground and center yourself. And then the pen to paper is not about creating anything artistic. It's not about creating anything necessarily representational, but merely letting that pen, pencil, marker, whatever you choose, glide along the page in whatever pattern of swirls or boxes or whatever is coming from you, and keeping contact continuously with your instrument to the page until you feel that it is time to release. And I love this practice because it's very different than what most of us will do in the course of our daily life, right? I mean, we might doodle here and there when we're maybe in the midst of a Zoom or a call or something like that. However, being completely focused on being present and then allowing that movement to happen that's coming from that presence that you have, right? That it's essentially kind of a mindful movement is, I think that the real power in it is, like I said, that it isn't something that you're generally doing all day long. So when we kind of our habitual ways of doing things, I think that that can allow for there to be and it's not something that's scary. It's not, so we're not heightening our nervous system. We're really soothing ourselves in a way which can allow then on the facing page, which has instructions to, you can continue to draw if that feels like what you're called to do. Most people use the other page to start journaling. And sometimes that can look like a dream journal. There may have been kind of a recollection in the process of doing that continuous line drawing of a dream from the night before. It might be just journaling about the day's events. It might even be kind of an inspired thought around an idea that you had that you want to kind of flesh out a little bit. So I think that why I love this practice so much, especially now, is before we got on camera, we were just talking about that there's a lot going on in the world. There's a lot of, you know, there is just a lot of noise. And this is a way for us to show up for ourselves, again, that is very soothing and is kind of taking the temperature down a little bit and allowing ourselves to be a little bit more expansive rather than kind of this protecting ourselves from the barrage of noisiness that is our world these days.
Thank you. So how do you know that the heart mapping journal is leading to good results?
Well, I would say that it's going to be subtle. When going back to the idea of the stories, right? And how we have learned from our stories, and also how, in a way, we have been programmed by our stories. So, and if you think about especially the stories that you have inherited through your community, through your family, what have you, that happened over years and years. And in some ways, some of the stories that you have inherited are generations old, right? So as we embark on this journey of self-awareness and really kind of stepping outside of patterns of behavior, which may no longer serve us or never served us, how we start to heal is really about coming into alignment with who we are. And so what you are doing in this moment, just by the simple act of committing to yourself, I mean, doing journaling is something that is just for you, right? You are not, this is not meant to be something that you're, I mean, you can do whatever you want with it, but first and foremost, it is for you. And it's really meant to be for you without the expectation that it's going to be shared with anyone else, right? So there's none of that pressure that it has to be done a certain way. And I think so that being willing to commit to that practice in and of itself, I would not, I guess I want to really underscore what a powerful start that is to then building upon the idea of getting to know who you are. And the way I think about it, the way it happened for myself is the more I was willing to get curious about who I was, I could then move into trusting myself more. And then from there, I can start making choices. I could start taking action that was much more in alignment with the person that I knew myself to be and that I also wanted to be, you know, how I wanted to be showing up for myself. So I think that there's, I mean, the simple answer is when you show up for yourself in such a kind of purely honest way, like I said, doesn't have to be for hours and hours, just even for 10 or 15 minutes a day, that's a big deal.
Thank you. Tell me, what kind of results did you notice in the people that have used the heart mapping journal?
Yeah. So I mentioned a lot about kind of that grounding, right? That feeling of relaxing into yourself. So I think that number one, that is definitely something that people have noticed, right? Is just the, it's amazing what a few breaths can do, right? When we fully take a moment to pay attention to our breath. I mean, it's so often through the day where we might be holding our breath. I know a lot of times if I'm anxious, I could find myself holding my breath, which doesn't help my anxiety in any way, shape, or form, right? Usually just kind of heightens my anxiety. So I think that there is, the whole instructions are to start with that centering and taking a few breaths. So people, I think from the start of that, and then also doing something, right, that continuous line drawing again is just not only, it kind of is doing two things, right? It's releasing pressure if there is pressure, and it's also just bringing a more calm to our bodies, right? It's allowing for a little bit more space and calm. So certainly just the sense of a moment's peace, right? So there's that. And then I think the biggest takeaway is the awareness that is gained that, because the other thing that happens when you get to the part where you're journaling with words, so often we are having the same thoughts. We can just be, you know, going on a loop some days. And we can also be kind of jumping from thought to thought. And so again, the idea that you are putting pen to paper, pencil to paper, and writing your thoughts out really forces you to slow down. I mean, you can only write so fast, right? I guess certainly people who know shorthand can do it much faster, but there is a physical constraint that the discipline is putting on yourself that is so, I think that we don't realize, right, how quickly we expect everything to happen these days. And so by doing something that's a little bit more analog, a little bit more maybe old-fashioned, we can really regain kind of, it gives us the ability to sit with ourselves, to sit with our thoughts. And from there, there is awareness and by extension, some clarity. What I know to be true for myself and what I have heard my clients and people who have purchased the journals say is that oftentimes once you have awareness around a situation, especially something that's painful or that is not working for you, that's kind of the very beginning. That is the start of change. And for every person in every situation, it's going to happen at their own rate. However, once there is awareness, most of the time that change will follow.
Thank you. Tell me about the spaghetti on the wall journal as well. Like, how does it compare with the heart mapping journal in terms of using it as a tool for healing?
Yeah. Well, I think the biggest difference with spaghetti on the wall is that it has a series of prompts that it asks you, the same prompts each day. And again, it's that consistency piece. And it is all based on a practice of writing. The very first, you know, when I first was creating this, I was business coaching. I had several clients and I got to know them very, very well because these were independent business owners, entrepreneurial people who, founded and owned their own businesses. So I got to know them on a personal and professional level, you know, both. And it was amazing to me, these very, very, very smart people and very ambitious people and very capable people, how oftentimes without kind of really fully realizing it, they were repeating their own patterns, right? And patterns that were detrimental in particular to the success that they were saying that they wanted to see for themselves. So the way that Spaghetti on the Wall is set up is the first prompt is to kind of just put down the top thought, it says in the journal. And it's really just kind of clear whatever is keeping your brain busy right now, because we're just going to put that down on paper. And then you go into journaling. I like to use it in the morning, so I journal about the previous day. And there is the invitation to really do kind of more of a observational inventory of what you did the day before, what happened the day before. I specify that you really want to remove judgment and be kind of that just a witness to what was going on in your life, whether it was this current day or the day before. And I like to specify that because I think that so often if we start to, the minute that we bring judgment into that conversation that we're having with ourselves, we can get off track because we start thinking woulda, shoulda, coulda, and there's a whole lot of noise happening in our own head. So that's why there's that prompt to be just kind of the witness to your own life. And then from there, I love this part because this is kind of the experience evaluator is what it's called. And it's asking you to think about, I'll use the example of how I use it, to think about the day prior and pull out those beautiful yeses of the day. And what I mean by a yes is it can be a moment where something unexpected happened that was pleasant. It could be a big yes. I mean, it could be that a project that you had been working on is finally complete, or you got awarded a project that you'd been waiting for, or that you perhaps met someone that you've been waiting to meet for a very, very long time, right? It can, whatever your big yes is, but to remember those big yeses can also be very small moments. So it's having awareness of what brings you joy, what brings you excitement, right? What brings you, where are those moments where you were really engaged in your life? And then there's a slightly larger section that is called the not so much section. And so that is the place where you really notice kind of the points of tension in your day, perhaps friction. And what I like about this as a way to heal and gain awareness and kind of move towards the things that you're saying that you want is that rather than waiting for things to be big drama or be, massive level of crises, that it's asking you to really pay attention at a daily level of where are you just maybe, where have you outgrown something, right? Or where, and it's hopefully, I think in that kind of the way that it's framed is that you can be gentle with yourself. You don't have to, I think so oftentimes we have this tendency to, if we are ready to leave something, or we feel like we've outgrown something, we have to make it bad, or there has to be something, as I mentioned, some drama around it, right? And that doesn't really have to be, because that comes at such a great cost to ourselves. Whereas if we can notice things earlier, we can shift, we can let go, we can honor that thing that was and be okay moving in a new direction. And then the last section of spaghetti on the wall is kind of a space to, it's out of the box inspiration. So maybe a lot of times after you've done that other journaling, there's other thoughts that are percolating up because you've kind of given space to the heavier things in your mind. And so sometimes you can have some great ideas. Sometimes it's just about getting clear about what you want to do with the rest of your day, right? But I think that these different prompts are suggested and given in a way that it's not about confronting yourself. It's not even about, I'm not even suggesting that you, I will, don't ever want to suggest that anyone is broken or needs to be fixed. Right? I think that each of us are so wonderful and lovely if, if we took the time to get to know ourselves, and there's so much talent and genius that is at our fingertips once we kind of get out of our own way.
Thank you. Tell me how you are using the heart mapping journal or the spaghetti on the wall on yourself, and has it led to any results for you?
Oh my gosh, yes. Spaghetti on the wall was the first journal that I created. And as I mentioned, in my head, I was doing this for my clients because they needed it. And, I needed it just as much, if not more, than my clients. In my case, it was more of my personal situation, which was also bleeding into my business because I had been married, I had gotten divorced, and then I married again, I was definitely repeating patterns that were not beneficial to me. And I was deeply unhappy in my second marriage. And really, I was working an insane number of hours and not really getting anything done. I mean, I wasn't getting close to the results that you would expect from putting that much time into it, because it was kind of like I was just, I mean, imagine a swimmer. I can swim, but I'm not a professional swimmer, but you know, there's ways that you swim and yes, you can stay afloat, but you're splashing and you're exhausting yourself. And you're pretty much staying in the same place, versus there are those ways where you can be swimming so elegantly and so effortlessly and really, you know, getting some distance. And in that place that I was of, you know, having entered into a second marriage that wasn't really the right fit for me, my distraction was my work. And I was just splashing around and I wasn't getting anywhere. I mean, I was barely staying afloat. But so the difference was recognizing my own patterns. Change, as I mentioned, change had to come gradually, because what I was acknowledging was that this second marriage was probably not meant to be and not meant to last, which meant going through another divorce, which was deeply, I mean, there was a lot of shame and guilt and just all sorts of negative feelings around that. And so I had to take my time. And once I did, then I really did have the space to be working in a way on my business that was so much more meaningful and so much more, I mean, it brought me so much more joy and was so much more financial. I mean, it kind of brought a whole set of health, you know, to my life, whether it was healthier finances, healthier, you know, just healthier habits, and like I said, more joy and contentment.
Thank you. For me, what I find is that I have not used a journal to heal emotionally, but I really like making lists, you know. So mm-hmm. For example, when I'm and I find that to be quite healing. So for example, let's say if you are in a situation where you're single and you start like writing all the different things that are really awesome about you, I find mm-hmm. that in itself to be quite healing.
Yeah.
Because then you kind of realize, oh yeah, I am a great cook. I look really good in everything.
Yeah.
And I am an awesome person. I'm honest and I have this and I have that. I know. So when you're making that list of how awesome you are, I find that to be a very healing process. And the other thing that is quite healing, let's say when you're trying to break up from someone, or you've already broken up from someone and you have a lot of emotional pain about, you know, why he left or why he blocked you or why he did this, whatever. And then you kind of make a list of all the different negative things that he had. And you look at that, it's kind of like a long list. I find that to be quite healing emotionally as well, because you're thinking, okay, you're seeing all the negative stuff and it's kind of like, yeah, like, why did I even like him? I don't even know. And then
I agree with you, because I think that so often, and this can be if you're firing, I mean, this could be firing clients. This can be all sorts of, I mean, I think the example you're giving is so, so great and so universal too, but what you're describing, that initial feeling where there's that grief and that sense of loss, a lot of times what we are grieving or is kind of not actually what was, right? So in that list making that you're talking about, we're actually having kind of a reality check with ourselves, whereas so much that sadness or that grief that we can be experiencing is really about kind of that still there was that hope or that imagination of what it could be.
Yes, actually, that's exactly right. And I made a list in the past, and I looked at it, and it was kind of like so interesting for me that what I was grieving really was the potential and not the reality. And I was just, I guess I felt also very jealous of the potential of, let's say, him with another person that could be better than me, you know, and I feel really bad about that. But I think every time I break up from someone, I find that I'm always kind of reverting to the same thing about like, okay, this person is going to go on and date someone else. And what if they're going to date someone better than me? And I don't know why I am always thinking about that. Like I have to be like the one that's, you know, I have to one up the next person. I know. Is that like a sick thing that I'm thinking that like I need to be the winner in this, like I need to be the better person. And also the other thing that doesn't make a lot of sense is like, sometimes when you see your let's say your ex-boyfriend that is kind of cheated on you with a much worse person, like uglier, not successful, like a lot bigger, like, you know, and you're thinking like, why? It doesn't make any sense, you know? And yeah. Then but then when you're kind of making the list and you're putting it, you know, in your journal, you're making a list of all the different things that the person didn't have, you know, like no respect and the betrayal and he was not that good looking. And I don't know, all the different things. I find mm-hmm. that to be quite emotionally healing. And the other thing that I find quite healing is to make a list of all the different, like the compatibility, you know? So for example, okay, communication, 3%, you know, out of the desired 100, or, you know, loyalty, okay, 0 out of the desired 100 or whatever. And having all the different like criteria, you know, that you desire, and then seeing how the score is actually 0 in some of them and you desire it to be 100. And then it's kind of like a reality check about, okay, this person really, they were not up to scratch and I deserve someone so much better. And I find that writing it down kind of gives you so much clarity. And because of this clarity, then you're able to kind of move forward with more excitement, especially if you do a list about yourself and you know, you look at that and say, okay, I'm awesome, I'm gorgeous, I'm successful, I have whatever, I'm financially free, and you know what I mean. And then you kind of realize, actually, you know, this balance was never a balance. And that's why they needed to exit my life, because something a lot better is waiting for me. And they are not supposed to be in my frequency when I'm going to be enjoying the expansion. So what's your opinion about my...
Oh, gosh. Yeah, no, I love everything that you just shared. And I can resonate with so much of it. And I think... for me, and this is where, in particular, the journals that I created, which obviously came from my own need first and foremost, is hopefully getting a little bit kind of deeper into, because at I love your list of, you know, way more interesting, you know, I have this going on for me and that going on for me. I think where I had to be willing to, let me back up a little bit. I repeated patterns until I was willing to really look at kind of the root of the pattern. And what was that emotional healing that had to, you know, that had to really, and patterns can be either reoccurring thoughts or, you know, choosing the same people or, you know, whichever patterns. And so much of kind of the emotional healing that I had to do was around kind of really believing, number one, recognizing and then believing it at a cellular level that I am enough. And really, I think that I hope that any of our lists can start with just by acknowledging that we are enough, just exactly how we are in this moment. And because whether we've gotten messages, you know, from our family that, you know, we have to, you know, do, we have to behave or look a certain way to be lovable. You know, those are the kinds of stories that, that stick with us. And, or that we, you know, mistakenly think that our accomplishments, right, our resume is going to be the thing that is, that, that proves, right, that we are worthy. And I think what's so powerful about taking that time to get to know yourself in a really deep and kind of naked, honest way is saying, gosh, I'm enough. And I'm kind of, I'm in love with myself, right? And from there, and not only am I in love with myself, but I love myself. And then from there, I can show up in the world, whether it's personally, professionally, with my family, however, a much more kind of loving and kind way that is, helps me move through the world and stay on my track, right? And kind of helps me deflect those distractions. Because I think about both of my ex-husbands, at the time that I met them, I was feeling so poorly about myself. I had just a whole bunch of negative stories that I was telling myself about who I was. And that doesn't lead to great choices.
Thank you. Tell us where entrepreneurs can connect with you.
Yeah, you can find me at my website, kristenswan.com. And that is probably the best place. I'm also, certainly if you're on social media, I'm on Instagram and TikTok. So I'm there, and LinkedIn as well.
Thank you.
Heal Podcast with Lily Patrasco shares longevity and anti-aging techniques to stay young forever, increase energy, overcome addiction, and live your longest, best life ever. Shared by world's most innovative alternative and traditional health thought leaders, healers, and doctors. Discover quantum healing strategies to heal your mind, body, and soul.